Greeny with Mike Greenberg, the podcast.
Holy smoke, I think we may have a huge story here. This is Greeny presented by Progressive Insurance. I opened the show today by saying we had four lead-worthy stories today. One of them is the college football playoff. Their first rankings came out. Another was the tipping of pitches last night that led to five home runs in Game 3 of the World Series. Another was the NFL trade deadline, in which the Dolphins may have put themselves directly into Super Bowl contention. And then the fourth was the Brooklyn Nets, who are the biggest train wreck I can ever remember in sports, and I was just talking about them. I'm now seeing some stuff here on Twitter, and people are sending it to me. Nuno, am I good to go with this? Do you see what I'm talking about? I'm not 100% sure. These things have to get vetted. I can tell you what's being reported. Nuno, do you hear me? Are you with me there?
Yeah, I just don't know what you're talking about at this point, so okay. I would hold off on it.
The Forbes report?
Yes, that's correct. So I'm just going to say this on the air. To the best of my knowledge, ESPN has not confirmed this, but Forbes is reporting that the Washington Commanders owner, Dan Snyder, has hired Bank of America to help him sell the team. That Dan Snyder, and this is something the world has been waiting for a very long time, has decided he is going to sell the team. There's been all this pressure on him. Again, this is an exclusive from Forbes. I will make as clear as I can that this is not something that is being reported by ESPN. I'm sure our reporters will be all over this shortly, but it is something that just exploded into my email. And so we'll see where we go. We'll see what winds up happening as that thing goes forward. Again, let's let our reporters get to the bottom of this. Let's not put that up there on the screen. Let our reporters get to the bottom of this and see where we wind up. But this was sent to me by someone here at ESPN, so I immediately went to it, and there you have it. Greeny, brought to you by FanDuel Sportsbook. Make every moment more. All right, here's what I was planning to do here, and so let's do it. Let's do trade deadline winners and losers. NFL trade deadline came and went yesterday. I've got 5 winners, and I have 2 losers. The 2 losers are both individual people. Now, Nuno, you're a negative person. Would you rather I give you the winners or the losers first? Which would you rather hear first?
We're going to be able to run through the winners, so let's just focus on them first.
All right, the winners. It starts, obviously, with the Dolphins. The Dolphins making the move they did yesterday for Bradley Chubb, bringing in a closer in football. That position of pass rusher has become sort of like, you know, the Mariano Rivera, that you're a closer. Your job is to close the game. Tua Tagovailoa's job is to get the Dolphins ahead, and then Bradley Chubb's job is to close the game out. Don't let Patrick Mahomes beat you with the last drive. Don't let Josh Allen beat you on the last drive. Don't let Lamar Jackson beat you on the last drive. Go out and make a big play on defense, because you're not stopping those guys. You're not stoning those guys. You're not holding Patrick Mahomes. You're not going into a game against the Chiefs thinking, we're going to win this game 20-13. You're going into it thinking, I need one big play for my defense. I need to match them score for score. If you're Miami, you're thinking, I got Tyreek and I got Waddle and I got all this offense and Tua's playing great and I'm going to match them score for score, and then I need one big play late from my defense. And Bradley Chubb is the man to make that play. He's the man to make the big sack on a big third down late in the game. He's the man to get a sack strip fumble. He's the guy who will create the one, hit the quarterback's arm so the ball pops up in the air and you get an interception. That's his job. His job is not to have 50 sacks. His job is to make one play late in a playoff game that puts Miami into the next round or even wins them the championship. So they're an obvious huge winner yesterday. I think the Vikings are an underrated winner yesterday. TJ Hockenson is great. And look, if you play daily fantasy as I do, I guess any form of fantasy, but I like the daily fantasy. You know, TJ Hockenson is money every week. TJ Hockenson is as productive a tight end as there is in the National Football League besides Travis Kelce. Kelce every week has the biggest numbers of tight ends, and it's not even close. Kittle is sort of on the next level there. He's coming back from injury and everything else. For a moment in time, Darren Waller was on that level. Hockenson is that guy. He's a difference maker. So you put him on that team with Jefferson and Dalvin and Thielen That is it's a team no one's paying attention to, but the Vikings are legitimate contenders. I put the Jets and the 49ers on this list as winners as well because of the moves they made before the deadline, i.e. last week. And I think that they are for different reasons. The Jets, I told you last week, I love that they went out and traded for the running back because it was a wonderful signal from the general manager to the locker room that the future is now. This is no longer about what are we going to eventually build ourselves into being. It was a signal that the time to win is right now. And with our running back getting hurt, I'm going out and getting some help. The cavalry's coming, boys. We're going to try and make this thing happen. So I loved that signal. And then the other one in San Francisco, McCaffrey. I think they don't have such an award. But, Hembo, if there was such a thing as betting on someone to be the MVP of the second half of the season, he would have to be on the short list of favorites, right?
Yes, I mean, this is now the least tackleable team ever. That's not really a word. I made it up. Kyle Shanahan, we know, likes to scheme up yards after the catch. So if you look at all current players, all right, Christian McCaffrey leads all of them in yards after the catch per game. Deebo Samuel leads all receivers in that stat. George Kittle leads all tight ends in that set. Those three guys average 127 yak a game. That's 127 yards that Jimmy Garoppolo does not have to account for. That offense has become a cheat code with Kyle Shanahan calling plays.
All right, so we have that here as well. So those teams are winners. And then one individual that I put on my list of winners, maybe the biggest of them all, is Justin Fields. And I touched on this earlier with Canty and Kimberly in here. But for the Bears, who are building for the future, who have $100 million in cap space and who have all these draft picks next year and traded away two defensive players for draft picks in the last week or so. For them to go out and spend a second-round pick on a big physical wide receiver who fills an enormous need suggests their development of Justin Fields is working. This is the right move. It's a great move for the Bears. Even if they don't win any games the rest of this year, which is not what's going to happen. They're going to win plenty of games. But the point is that in order for Justin Fields to develop for the rest of the season, you got to give him a fighting chance. All of a sudden, they're letting him run with the ball more. That's working. They've got two good running backs. They have some receivers there, but what they didn't have is anyone who scares the defense. You're not scared of Darnell Mooney. You're not scared of N'Keal Harry. You're not scared of Equanimeous St. Brown. You're not scared of these people. You could be pretty scared. I think there's reason to be scared of Chase Claypool. He could be a difference-making player. He never quite reached his potential in Pittsburgh, but now he's got a big-arm quarterback who can fling the ball down the field, throw up these 50-50 balls, let him go up and get it. I think for the development of Justin Fields, this was a fantastic move by the Bears, and so I put him among the winners. Those are my five trade deadline winners. Greeny with you live from the Seaport, brought to you by Grey Goose. The two losers, to me, the two biggest losers on trade deadline day, are Aaron Rodgers and Russell Wilson. Aaron Rodgers, it goes without saying, his team did not do anything. They did not do anything. They did not make a move at the deadline. And it goes to show that he has been betwixt and between. And look, he absolutely has to take a lot of the blame for this. But from the moment that team traded Jordan Love, traded up and took Jordan Love, they have been dysfunctional, which is to say you either have to be trying to win now or building for the future. You can't try and do both at the same time. Not if your goal is to win a Super Bowl. And if you have Aaron Rodgers as your quarterback, it doesn't make sense to be building for the future. It only makes sense to be building for now. And yet, they haven't done it. Trading away Davante Adams is one of the worst moves any NFL team has made in recent memory. Just an absolute abject disaster. And the worst part of it is that everyone saw it coming. We all said at the time, this is a disaster. Oh, we'll draft Christian Watson and Romeo Doubs. They'll be terrific in 2026. And Aaron Rodgers will be hosting Jeopardy or some other game show or doing something else. But you just think to yourself, oh, well, we're just going to always have great quarterbacks. Don't work that way. Spoiled rotten by what they've had between Favre and Rodgers. That was a huge mistake. And then the Russell Wilson thing. That is a clear signal from Denver. We're rebuilding. You don't trade away Bradley Chubb, who's young, if you think, oh, we're a year away from winning something. They are rebuilding. Russell Wilson was supposed to be plug and play. Put him in there. We were talking about, oh, are they going to win the AFC West? Are they going to go to the Super Bowl? If Rodgers was there, would they be a Super Bowl favorite? Nope, they're rebuilding around a quarterback with a lot of question marks and a huge contract with a coach that most people don't think is getting it. So that's a terrible circumstance that Denver finds themselves in, and that Russell in particular finds himself in. So there you have it. Coming out of the trade deadline, my biggest winners, Dolphins, Vikings, Jets, Niners, and Justin Fields. My biggest losers, Aaron Rodgers and Russell Wilson. We're just getting rolling here. Coming up, I got a green light to do. We haven't even gotten to the college rankings, but I have one fascinating thought on that to bring your way. We are busy. Greeny on ESPN Radio.
Greeny, the podcast.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use the code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only, not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use the code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code Parlay and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Greeny with you on ESPN Radio, or presented by Progressive Insurance. It's time to say goodnight to that check engine light. With the free AutoZone Fix Finder service, it'll help troubleshoot the likely cause of your light for free, so you can drive with peace of mind. Restrictions apply. Get in the zone with AutoZone. With the assembled members of the hashtag crew around me here, Hembo, Bubba, Nuno, on a day filled with so many sports headlines, I'm going to give Hembo a green light here in a minute to go through some of the World Series stuff. But I would like to point out something that is, to me, of great frustration. At this particular moment in time, Nuno, in my inbox, in my email, I have not one, but two surveys from people who want to know how I feel about the way they did their job. And it's like you could have a full-time job. If you are a reasonably active person and you ever buy anything, call anyone, or do anything, sometimes it feels like all you have to do is step outside your house. Someone's going to send you a survey and wants to know how it went. And the worst part of it is they don't pay any attention to the response. Because one of them I wrote that was sort of a negative response. I was honest and I said that candidly this was a bad experience and you did not do well. They wrote back with this very sort of generic, thank you so much for responding. We're delighted you had a pleasant experience. And I'm thinking, my experience wasn't pleasant, and you just made it way worse. So my complaints are multiple on this front, Nuno. One of them is, I don't have time in my life to be filling out all of these surveys. Most of the things you're asking me about were not important enough to me to have a valid opinion on how it turned out. And then two, I'm not convinced you're doing anything with this information. I think this is the ultimate in box checking. You're just like, well, what are we going to do? I don't know. Let's put out a survey and see if people felt about how we did. Terrific. You want to hire anyone to read it? Nah, the hell with it. Just put a survey out. People will feel like we care. And that's it. I don't think they're reading this stuff. So frankly, Nuno, I'm done with it. How do I unsubscribe from this?
Well, I, th- I think on all those emails you can unsubscribe. I will say this, though, as someone who has worked in the service industry, someone who sold cars, those, when you get those are extremely important because people do read them because salesmen or salespeople, excuse me, they get their bonuses or some of their bonuses based upon the responses. So if it comes back as all 10s, listen, we'll even tell you to cheat. Just give me all 10s. Like, that's all you need to do because that's all that matters. If you deviate from that plan, you're not, the salesperson is not getting a bonus. So while I understand it's frustrating, there are some that I take my time to respond to.
Well, yeah, when you say even I, as though you're like one of the five busiest and most important people in the world, it's you're not, you know, it's a fascinating way. Even I take my time. I like the way you phrase that, Nuno. But here's what I would say, and I get it, because they always tell you when you get the car. Now, I lease all my cars. I don't buy a car because I like getting new ones all the time. And, you know, it's kind of exciting before there's ever a problem with it. You're getting a new one. So I guess what I'm trying to say is, being as old as I am, I've gone through a lot of cars. I've had a lot of car buying, or in my case, leasing experience. And Nuno, you're right. They always say to you, you're going to get a survey. Please just fill out the best possible thing you can. I think it is 10, 10, 10, 10. You know what you do is, you don't even read it, right? I'm not looking at the survey. I'm just filling in 10, 10, 10, 10, because I'm not going to screw this guy. You know, so I'm going to fill it out well. But it seems to me, Nuno, the fact that I bought the car should tell you what you need to know, right? Like, I bought my, you have 8 trillion options on where you can buy a car. If I buy it from you, I obviously was happy with you. Does that not tell the story?
Yes and no, because there's still some things that you need to do as a salesperson. That if it's a brand new car, if there's new features, you need to go through that. And it's, hey, did your salesperson go through those features and teach you how to use it? There's that type of stuff.
What features are we talking about here?
Yeah, I mean, you know, they're upgrading, you know, different type of cameras that the car has. You know, did they help you set up the Bluetooth? Because there are some people, not saying you, that are technically, you know, have technical issues that can't even set up a Bluetooth. Did your salesperson help you there? Or now all of a sudden you dragging Hembo outside one day and asking him to set up your Bluetooth?
No, that's insulting. Hembo did not set up my Bluetooth. Erica did.
Your assistant?
100% true. Erica does all of that. She sets all the radio stations for me, you know. I like the SiriusXM. Oh, the presets. I got the ESPN radio on there. Of course, that's number one. I got the Billy Joel channel on there. I got all my channels. Erica does all that. I couldn't do it if my life depended on it.
I have an idea.
Yeah.
A hashtag Greeny listener survey.
Meaning what? We're going to ask them how they feel about the show?
Yeah, like, do you think Nuno's too cynical? Do you think Hembo pronounces all the words wrong? Do you think, I don't know, et cetera? Let's do it.
No.
No, we're going to pass on that one.
We're passing on that. No, I'm sitting here complaining about the surveys. No. The last thing on earth we need.
Everyone does them. You might want the feedback. It might be helpful to the show.
You know what surveys remind me of? We live in a culture now, in a corporate culture, where I feel like we have so many meetings that people, I think, now just create meetings because it makes them feel like they've actually accomplished something, as though the simple attendance of a meeting means you've done something today. And usually, well, not usually, but a disturbing number of times, I've been in meetings where the only thing I can say with certainty was accomplished was deciding when the next meeting was going to be.
Yeah.
And that, I don't have time for that. I don't have time for these surveys. Like, I'm like Nuno. I'm a busy person. Nuno is a very busy man. His time is spoken for. He is very busy right now, exercising, dieting, and watching New York sports. He does not have time to be filling out your surveys. That's what he's doing. Okay, anyway, this is just a small pet peeve on my part. Let's get to the green light.
I'm ready to go right now.
Green light, green light with Greeny.
All right, Hembo, all kidding aside, and we can kid all we want, but we have had really, really good baseball conversation here. And we had a terrific job, Todd Frazier and you, candidly, Hembo, putting together this look at the way Lance McCullers was tipping his pitches in Game 3 of the World Series last night. 5 home runs later, the Phils are up 2-1. The fans are going crazy. They feel in control of the World Series. Hembo, take it away.
Well, it's not just Lance McCullers that the Phillies have annihilated this postseason. If you look at all the starting pitchers that have pitched against the Phillies at Citizens Bank Park, their home ballpark, this postseason, those pitchers collectively own an ERA of 10.62. The Phillies are absolutely steamrolling everyone at home. They're 6-0 with a plus 27 run differential.
Now, hold on just 1 second. Is that... You frequently use the term a smelly line, right?
Yeah.
You'll see a point spread and you'll say, that doesn't smell right. The Phillies at home, and maybe it's just because it's the Astros they're playing, but when you hear a team is that dialed in on every starting pitcher in and only in their home ballpark, does that raise, I'm not asking you, Hembo, Nuno, Bubba, does that raise your eyebrow as far as that doesn't sound like something? It's certainly, let's put it this way. If you just substituted the word Houston Astros for the word Philadelphia Phillies and said in their home ballpark, their numbers are X, Y, and Z against starting pitchers in this postseason, the average ERA of the starters against them in their ballpark is over 10. Wouldn't we look at that a tad askew?
So you're saying, let's say Phillies pitcher Zach Wheeler got lit up the way that Lance McCullers did last night. Let's say that game happened in Houston, and let's say Jose Altuve called Yordan Alvarez over and whispered sweet nothings into his ear at the dugout.
Yes.
We wouldn't be reacting the same way as what you're saying.
That's what I think. So, Nuno, is there room here for some question as to whether or not there is something nefarious afoot?
Well, I would say no, because if you're tipping pitches, that's on you, right? Like, the Phillies aren't doing anything illegal. So I think they get a pass here based upon the fact that if you're tipping pitches, that's your fault.
But that's last night, to
correct.
Be clear. But you're talking about how many games is this now? How many home games have they had? They've played three series already.
Yeah, they've had six home games.
Only six. They won last night.
In the first series against St. Louis, both of
they
those
never
games
played
were
at home.
Yeah.
That's right. So they only had the home games. So it's six home games.
They're 6-0
against, in theory, elite level starting pitchers.
That's
because
right.
Because this is the postseason and the World Series.
Yeah.
The opposing starting pitchers have had an ERA of over 10.
10.62.
How do you feel about that?
I feel great about that. I'll tell you. I understand where you're coming from. I do.
Oh, do you?
But here's the deal. When we got so enraged at the Astros, and this is why the tipping thing, I think, could not be oversold today. Like, I think it is the biggest story in the baseball world. When the Astros were stealing signs in 2017, it is the single largest advantage that any team could possibly have in any sport. In any sport. That's why it's such a big deal. The Phillies demonstrated that yesterday. They had historic home run numbers against a great breaking ball pitcher.
Greeny, the podcast.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Let me very quickly, because I touched on it briefly here when it was first breaking. The Washington Commanders have now released a statement that says they have hired the Bank of America Securities to consider potential transactions. I'll just read it to you directly. Dan and Tanya Snyder and the Washington Commanders announced today they've hired Bank of America Securities to consider potential transactions. The Snyders remain committed to the team, all of its employees, and its countless fans, to putting the best product on the field and continuing the work to set the gold standard for workplaces in the NFL. It then says at the bottom, Washington Commanders established in 1932, which is in and of itself hilarious because they've only been the Washington Standards for Commanders for a year. They most certainly were not established as the Washington Commanders in 1932, but maybe of greater consequence. Dan Snyder once famously said he was never going to change the name of that team. Never. And then he did. And then he said he's never going to sell that team. Never. And now he is. Now, it's not being made clear if he's going to sell a partial stake, a majority stake, if he's getting out entirely. if someone else, the important question is someone else going to be in charge? That's what you care about if you're a football fan. You don't care about how the money is divided up. You care if a person whose ownership of the franchise, let's just take anything you may think about him out of the equation, whose ownership of the franchise has been horrendous, just terrible. They've been awful. They've been wholly mismanaged. And they've really never been competitive. Like, what year did he buy the team?
1999. He bought the team at the time for a record $800 million.
Right. So, I mean, you could sell that team probably at this point for $5 billion. So, I mean, it's going to wind up having been a magnificent investment. But that's not what he cares about, because he has more than enough money for 50 lifetimes anyway. He doesn't want to do this, to be clear. He grew up a fan of that team in that city, and this is humiliating. He doesn't want to do it, so he's doing it, if he's doing it, because he's being forced to. He has come to a point where he recognizes he has no choice. But in those years since 1999, and they've just been terrible. Are they the worst team in the NFL in that stretch? Maybe Jacksonville would be worse. Their record has got to be pretty close to the worst in the NFL in those years.
They have the fifth worst record in the NFL during those years, and they have combined to win two playoff games.
Who is the four teams with worse records? Do they have that?
It is Detroit, it is Cleveland, Jacksonville, and the Raiders. So they're four teams. Those are the four teams with worse records.
With worse records since Snyder became the owner in Washington. Established 1932.
Yep.
Okay, so there's the latest there. We'll see where it winds up going. We continue in 15 seconds on ESPN Radio. All right, Greeny with you here on ESPN Radio. A few more minutes on this green light here. Hembo has doubled down, Nuno, on his enthusiastic endorsement of the Phillies' somewhat questionable pitching stats, which is to say...
Somewhat questionable?
Well, you just posted on Twitter the numbers on the starting pitchers against the Phillies this year at Citizens Bank Park. Lance McCullers, 4 1/3, 7 runs. Yu Darvish, 6 innings, 2 runs. Blake Hevinger, 0 innings pitched. He did not record an out, 3 earned runs. Joe Musgrove, 5 2/3, 4 earned runs. Charlie Morton, 2 innings, 3 runs. Spencer Strider, 2 1/3, 5. Well, I assume that's supposed to say earned runs, right? You accidentally put IP there. But whatever, the ERA is 10.62. Now, what are the numbers on the road?
Stand by.
Are the numbers markedly worse on the road? I want to make it clear, I'm not accusing anyone of anything, and I think that we did a great job this morning demonstrating that through fully legal means, picking up on the tipping that Lance McCullers was doing, they pounded him last night, and that does show just how much of an advantage is to know what pitches are coming, which does show just how awful the cheating scandal of the Houston Astros before them was. However, what are the numbers on this? Because that was only one game, Lance McCullers, last night.
On the road for the Phillies. Opposing starters, a 3.83 earned run average, allowed 3 home runs, again at home. A 10.62 ERA, 10 home runs. Those are the numbers.
So what are you saying?
I'm just delivering the numbers that you asked me to deliver.
Understand that. So you are delivering them without comment.
Correct. I'm lifelong fan of the Philadelphia Phillies. I believe that they are doing things beyond reproach on the level.
Fair enough. I would have a hard time. Do you believe they're going to win?
Yes. The Phillies are going to win the series. The Phillies have the starting pitching advantage tonight. Arenola going in game 4. He's going to win tonight. The Phillies also have their two best relievers that they did not use yesterday, Sir Anthony Dominguez and Jose Alvarado. And then game 5 at Citizens Bank Park. Noah Syndergaard is likely to make that start for the Phillies against Justin Verlander, who, as we learned yesterday, just so happens to be the worst starting pitcher in the history of the World Series. They're going to burn that place down tomorrow night. Phillies in 5.
What were you saying, Nuno?
As someone who is accused of being, very Hembo listening to you, it sounds like you're okay with the fact if they are cheating that they're going to win. That's what it sounds like to me on this end.
Is it possible that the Phillies' pregame preparation, whether it be tipping pitches or whatever, is just so good and their lineup is so good that you can just let me have nice things and that they just have played really well at home 6 times, Nuno? Is that possible? Or are you so jaded from what the Astros did to you with buzzers and trash cans that you can't give this to me?
I'm just saying, you're the one that sounds like you're trying to make yourself believe that nothing questionable is going on.
You're milking it.
Exactly. So, listen, if that's the case, Hemel, all I ask is if that's the case, and let's say in 4 years when another sham investigation by MLB is done, and yes, Philly they come up and Philly's cheated at home, that you sit there and you destroy your team.
Here's the
deal.
That's
all I ask.
Sure. So long as when that does not come out, we can just acknowledge that the Phillies are hitting so well that you guys can't believe they're not doing it while cheating.
At home. Okay. So we'll see if that winds up holding tonight. Hambo's got to watch the game on his phone
That's
tonight.
Right.
Todd Frazier gave you dispensation to watch the game in person tomorrow night when you attend. Here's the only thing I'll ask. If they win tonight with you watching on your phone, and then you go to the game tomorrow night and they lose, will you take the responsibility for the Phillies' failure to close this out at home, which would be a spectacle? Anyone who's watching the series, watching the whole playoffs, that ballpark is insane. Or even worse, if this thing snowballs and you wind up losing the series as a result of it, will you feel as though you were the reason that they lost?
I'll be sick about it. I will offer a public apology to my favorite city on this show. I will.
As well you should.
It will be my fault exclusively.
Not exclusively, but largely.
Sure.
I think you have to shoulder a significant amount of the responsibility. The majority.
Fair enough.
I think that's right. Bryce Harper gets like 1% and you get 99. Okay, next order of business. I've told you we've got four lead stories today. We had the NFL trade deadline. We had the Nets. We had the World Series. And we got one more.
The Scoop.
I love this sheet. The college football playoff rankings came out last night for the first time this season. And there's nothing I love more than this. And I will tell you why. Because I'm a talk show host. I think like a talk show host. I haven't ever really done anything else for a living. There is nothing better for a talk show host than this sheet, the sheet that has all the numbers on it from all these college football teams. By now, you've probably seen it. Tennessee is 1, Ohio State is 2, Georgia's 3, Clemson's 4, Michigan is 5. Why Clemson ahead of Michigan? Who the hell knows? Does it make sense? Not really. 6, Alabama, 7, TCU. Why Alabama ahead of TCU? Because they're Alabama. It's just that simple. There's one reason and one reason only. When the head of the committee gets up there and Reese asks him, why would Alabama, with a loss and having looked bad in several other games they barely won, be ahead of an unbeaten TCU team that actually has the third best strength of record in the entire country? His answer should genuinely be, because Nick Saban coaches that team. Because we have an absolute, no question about it, we just assume they're good because they're Alabama. And you know what? I'm fine with that. I'm completely in on it. Because if Alabama played TCU right now, they'd be a 2-touchdown favorite, right? It's that simple. So I don't have a problem with it. Clemson and Michigan. If Clemson played Michigan right now, who would be favored?
Stand by. I actually can give you that exact number.
You can? Mm-hmm. Okay. If they played each other on a neutral field.
You said Clemson and Michigan?
Yeah. But just, I mean, that was the other sort of pressure point last night. It's not going to make any difference at all. The Michigan fans are all upset they're behind Clemson. But the reality is you're playing Ohio State in 2 weeks or three, whenever that is, in 3 weeks. And if you win that game, you're going to be in the four. And if you lose that game, you weren't going to be anyway. So I think where you were last night, if you're Michigan, doesn't make any difference.
I want you to guess, actually. I want you to guess that line.
If Michigan played Clemson on a neutral field,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to guess it would be very close. I'm going to say Michigan minus 3.
Michigan minus 4.
Okay.
Michigan
yeah.
minus 4.
So they're 4 or 5. That part of it doesn't matter. Here's the scenario. Again, I'm all about the chaos. I'm all about the drama, the controversy. I'm going to paint for you a picture. Bubba, Nuno, gather around. This weekend, one of the biggest college football games you're going to get, Tennessee and Georgia. It's number 1 against number 3. Georgia's the defending national champ. Tennessee, they've beaten Alabama. They crushed who? They had another huge win. Ole Miss, did they kill? They blew out another team that was unbeaten, and they're right now the number 1 team in the country. So I want you to imagine a scenario in which Georgia wins this game close. Georgia wins this game 35-34 on a touchdown at the very... Then you have to be 35-31 on a late touchdown. Georgia wins this game. Okay. Georgia winds up winning that side of the SEC, and they wind up in the SEC... That's the East, right? That's mm-hmm. the SEC East.
Yes.
And they wind up playing the SEC West, champion in the SEC title game, and that's, of course, Alabama. Alabama just lost an unbelievably close game at Tennessee that had a lot of, I thought, some questionable officiating in it, but whatever. What was the final score in that game? It was ridiculously close. It was a one possession game right to the very end. Alabama had the lead late in the game. So they do that now. Alabama plays Georgia for the SEC championship, and Alabama wins close. Alabama wins 27-23. Now you have a three-way tie, Tennessee, Georgia, Alabama. Alabama's loss will have been at Tennessee, and they're the SEC champ. Georgia's loss will have been against Alabama, who is the SEC champion, in a close game, but they beat Tennessee. And Tennessee's loss will be to Georgia, who is otherwise unbeaten, will be ranked in the top, at that point probably would be the number one team in the country going into that SEC championship game, and the game was on the road. So there's one of two things would have to happen in that scenario. I can't picture any way that Alabama, because in my scenario, they're the SEC champion. There's no way they don't get in. So when you're looking to put together your four, if Clemson wins out, they're in. The unbeaten winner of the Big Ten gets in. So just assume those two spots would be taken. Alabama gets in. Now you're choosing between Georgia and Tennessee. Or are you doing? You're sitting back and saying, you know what? In my opinion, Georgia and Tennessee are both better than Clemson, or they're both better than Ohio State. In this case, I think it would be Clemson. They're both better than Clemson. We're going to put them all in. Now, that becomes easier to do if Clemson loses a game somewhere along the line, TCU loses a game somewhere along the line, and you have no other unbeaten conference champion. But what I'm telling you is there is a scenario in which the SEC gets three teams into the college football playoff. And if that happens, the anger that it would create would delight me no end. I've learned one thing. Look, I grew up in New York City, and then I lived I grew up in the business in Chicago. Those are not college football markets. I did not grow up with college football being a part of my soul. I watched games and I liked it, but it wasn't the, and in Chicago, same thing. We didn't cover college football much where I was working in Chicago. We covered the Bulls and the Bears and the Cubs and White Sox. So it wasn't all about the college. I didn't really fully understand the abject lunacy of the fans. But then as I've gotten into this, I've grown to really like college football because I appreciate the immediacy. I appreciate the urgency. Every single week, there's a game that is essentially a championship caliber game. Winner in, loser out. Like every week, there's a playoff game. Never more so than maybe this one. But what I've come to figure out is, particularly from social media and other places, even talk shows like this, there are no fans like the college football fans. So can you imagine the rage that will ensue? Whoever gets left out of that scenario. So Paul and Heather and David this morning suggested to me that the team that gets left out in that scenario would be Tennessee. Can you imagine if Tennessee loses a close game on the road at Georgia? That's their only loss of the year. They beat Alabama and they get left out of the Final Four. Can you imagine the anger? How about if it's Georgia that winds up getting left out? There's no real scenario that I can picture where Alabama fans are going to be mad because they're either going to be in or they're going to have two losses. They're going to have lost to both of them. So they don't really have any ground to stand on. But the even angrier fan is going to be the fan of Clemson or TCU or, God help us, Michigan. If they're unbeaten and get left out for all these for these SEC teams. Now, I don't think that would happen. I have a very tough time picturing that. So, Hembo, would you agree with the assessment that either Michigan, I keep saying Michigan, either the Big Ten champion is going to have one loss or Clemson is going to have one loss for there to be any chance that the SEC gets three teams in?
Yes, I think that's right. I will also say this. I ran the exact simulation that you just put out there. The three SEC teams having exactly one loss and then an undefeated Big Ten champ and an undefeated Clemson using our handy-dandy simulator. In that simulation, we have Tennessee coming out over Georgia despite the head-to-head result, believe it or not. It's close, but in that scenario, they favor Tennessee to get in over Georgia.
Okay, I like it. And that all these things are to be determined, and part of that, of course, would be how the game plays out. There's if Tennessee beats loses to Georgia 35-31, it's very different than if they lose 35-10. So there's still all of November is the best month for the sport. There's going to be all these games, all these things left to be figured out. Okay, one piece of business left for us to figure out, and for that we bring in our friend Bubba. Bubba, we have now you, me, and Nuno, and Himbo has sat here smugly refusing to be a part of it, have chipped in to buy Powerball tickets.
Yep.
We did it for Saturday's drawing. You told me, do we win $4 that night?
Yeah, so the recap is Saturday, it was $825 million. We had $30 worth of tickets, so that's $15. We won $4. Then
okay.
We came back for Monday, it was up to $1 billion, so we put in $30 plus our $4, so we had 17 tickets, and unfortunately, we won $0.
So the next drawing is tonight?
So the next drawing is tonight, and we are up to $1.2 billion.
Oh, then we have to do it.
So we got to keep it going. We got $10 from Nuno, $10 from me, $10 from you, and 1 minute, and $0 from Hembo.
That's right. And again, you know what? This is great. Here's what's great about this. It's only getting better and better, because what Hembo will have to live with is that not only he didn't have one, he didn't have two, he had three chances to get in, and he's not going to miss out on a quarter of $850 million. He's not going to miss out on a quarter of a billion. He's going to miss out on a quarter of a billion, too. That's what's going to happen.
Yep.
I want to win this so badly. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, he had multiple chances.
You're not in. You're not, Hembo, there's nothing we can do to make you dig in.
Nuno, if this happens, do you think I'll get the radio show myself?
That's his ultimate play here.
That's
his
goal.
Exactly.
That's why he's not doing it. Now we get it. That's why he's not doing it. He just wants to host.
Let's put it this way. If we win this thing, you will definitely host the radio show by yourself once. See you tomorrow, ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to Greeny, the podcast. You can listen live each weekday morning at 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio. Or watch the show through the Watch tab on the ESPN app. Also catch Greeny on Get Up, weekday mornings at 8 on ESPN. And also available wherever you get your podcasts.